the Son of Man. When and why is that title used for describing Jesus? Was he a man? Well, what is a man? What does it mean being Son of Man? Okay, let's get our grammar straight coming out the gate. Let's all get on the same square so I'm not talking down to anyone. So therefore, I'm going to go very basic in this first description of the Son of Man. Son of Man is used many times, a lot of times in the book of Ezekiel, Ben Adam in the Hebrew tongue, but it's not talking about Christ. Anytime in the manuscripts when Son of Man is utilized to describe Christ, it has the article. I'll say that one more time. Anytime the Son of Man has reference or is talking to, addressing Christ, it has the article. Now, let's really get down to basic. What's an article? Well, grammatically speaking, I mean, we're not talking about newspapers, we're talking grammatically speaking. A, an, or the are articles. Okay? A and an are indefinite articles, whereas the is a definite, or I shouldn't say a, it is the definite article. I'll say it one more time. The is a or the definite article. It's the same thing we came across when we were studying in the Hebrew language in the first six chapters of Genesis. Every time Adam, the tender of the field, the husbandman, is mentioned, he also has the article. Why? He's the first Adam. If Adam is utilized without the article, it just simply means mankind. And this bridges all languages, all right, basically. Basically, this bridges all languages. Every language has an article whereby the Adam, Ha-Adam in the Hebrew tongue, is utilized. Likewise, when Christ is addressed with the title Son of Man, it also has the article the. Now many are going to say, well, these are my King James, a lot more than that. We're not talking King James here. We're talking the manuscripts so that you can differentiate when the Christ is spoken of and someone else. For example, in a sense, you're all children of God. And son being simply means children or son of God. But when you put the article to it and you say, if I say flowers, there's a bunch of them there. But I said, look at the flower. What does that tell you? I'm talking about one specific flower in that group. And as far as we're concerned, Christ is the one. That's why it requires the definite, absolute article. Okay? Therefore, you know that you're talking about Christ. Now why is this important? Why are we asked this question so many times? Well, it does seem a little strange to an English-speaking person why he's called, well, he's called Jesus. He's called Messiah. He's called Christ. He's called Jesus Christ. He is called Christ Jesus. And he's called Rabbi. He's called Master, which one and the same in two different languages. What do all those things mean? Well, it's kind of important that you know, and that's why you hear me, rather than transliterate, usually translate. Because if we say, what is the difference in saying Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus? Well, what does Jesus mean? Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh, God the Savior. That's what you're saying. And that's important because it will be addressing, utilizing that title and name whereby it has reference to your salvation. And hey, I hope you think that's pretty important. Now, what about the Christos, or Christ? It means the anointed one. What does anointing give? In other words, if God had David anointed, what did that mean? That was his credentials. That was his authority from God to serve him. All right? A person who is fortunate enough to possess a mantle from God, that is that person's anointing. Be that as it may. Titles are important, though. Messiah, of course, comes and means your Savior, he that would pay that price. Well, then, how did we get this Son of Man in here? Well, let's go for it. May I go ahead and tell you the difference? I'm sure all of you know, and I feel like I'm talking down to you. Son of Man means God Himself came in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, just like a man. And when the title Son of Man is used, it applies to this earth. All right? If He is called the Son of God, then His anointing and that anointed ship covers everything. Everything in heaven, the universe, and earth. So you see, it is important. Because in understanding the title and why it's utilized, then even the chronological order of time is involved in this at times. Isn't that simple? It's really quite simple. The way God puts His Word, whereby you know these various times and stages and what you're to expect from it. So, let's use some examples. Let's get cracking. We'll get right into our Father's Word. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, the good old Gospel of Mark. Remembering, and not to sidetrack yourself, the subject and the question is Son of Man. Why? Give us an example. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of the great book of Mark, I'll begin there. And again he entered into Capernaum, the city of compassion, that is to say, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. In other words, word traveled fast. He's down there. He's in that house. He's working miracles down there. And here they would go. And straightway, immediately, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. I mean, it was jam-packed. Not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. What is it that Christ preached? It's always the same. He preaches the word. And my friend, if you listen to somebody that doesn't teach the word, you're hearing somebody blow into the wind. Period. Verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, meaning he was paralyzed, which was born of four. You got four carrying and one being carried. How many is that? Four and one is five. Five means what? Grace. You're going to see an example of grace by the Son of Man. Four, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. I mean, they took the tiles off where he was. And when they, got right over him and then made an opening. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. How am I going to bring this? I want you to see the work involved in this. They're going to be recognized of their faith. But so many people like to be fake wimps. Perhaps that's my own definition. That's somebody that claims to have faith and absolutely has no works at all. I mean, they had to work at that. They carried that man up onto the roof of the house. And they opened up the roof and then they let him down. It took a lot more than faith to get him there. You understand? That means that which is about faith must not be strong enough. Well, tell me what you're doing. Okay, I just wanted to make a little point in passing. It's such a good example. But it does digress a little from our subject. Five. When Jesus saw their faith, I mean, what did he see it by? Their works. The fact that they went through that much work, knowing if they got him down there, Christ could do it. He could cut it. Can-do type, what? Healer. Physician. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That isn't really what they wanted to hear. I mean, we got a paralyzed man here. And he's hoping for a little relief. He'd like to at least be able to wave hi or bye-bye or something. I mean, he can't move. Christ says, your sins are forgiven thee. Now, as it's written in, what is it, Isaiah 43, only God can forgive sins. So think about this a minute. Only God, 43:25, I think. Surely I'm right. Yeah, I won't even turn there. I know I'm right. Because I looked at my note. Only God can forgive sin. So therefore, what is this one? Comes along, he's in this house, and he said, Son? And I mean, we got a man here that, I mean, he's handicapped. He's paralyzed. And he says, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. What was his name again? Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to bear that thought in mind. Only God can forgive sins. Okay? So, verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there. There's always one in every crowd, friend. I don't care if it's Shepherd's Chapel or where. All right? Don't you ever forget that. And reasoning in their hearts, this means their minds, their little old minds were just doing 60 miles an hour, and that's a strain for their what they have to work with, okay? I'm talking about the scribes, all right? Verse 7. In other words, we're talking about a group here that didn't believe God came in the flesh. You got it? Didn't believe the Son of Man could be God, or should say, your sins are forgiven, all right? Verse 8, and immediately, I'm sorry, verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And it is true, Isaiah 43, I mean, they know what they're talking about, 43:25 says that. But what they don't know is Emmanuel is standing before them, which is to say, being an instruction direct from the Father saying, name him Emmanuel. So there's another name you have to tag on to him besides Son of Man. God with us. So naturally, he could forgive sins. 8. And immediately, instantly, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, I mean, he could read their minds, he was a heart knower, which is to say, he could read their minds. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they will so reason with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Well, why are you racking your little old brain over these things? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, this paralyzed man, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Well, you know, for a man, I guess it'd be about as easy to say one as the other, but what would it mean? Probably nada, nothing. But for the Son of Man to say it, that's with the article, it'd be a bunch. 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man, and it has the article, all right, in the manuscript, hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now, it's important that you know that the Son of Man hath power on earth. Did he say heaven? Don't think so. He was in the flesh, and his duties at this moment was to take care of God's children on earth and to pay a price whereby their sins, I'm talking about you, could be forgiven, and myself. Okay? So we see here why he is called that. Why? He was in the flesh. He was the Son of God well enough. He was the only begotten. But he was God, saw fit that he himself, if he asked you, your soul, to be born in the flesh, to do his bidding, then would it be right for God not to do the same? God will never do anything or ask you to do anything that he will not and has not done himself. Thus we have the Son of Man. It's kind of an humbling type name. But with the article, it's fantastic. 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. My, we've never seen anything like this before. Of course they hadn't, because that's the first time the Son of God, the Son of Man, had walked before them, had performed this miracle in their eyesight. Emmanuel, God with us, he has every right, every authority to do the same on earth in that title, 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And so we have it. So we see, and the point I wanted to get there, verse 12 to finish, and immediately he rose up, took up the bed, and went forth, and they were all amazed. And that will do that. What I wanted to document to you is that the Son of Man, with the article, his authority is on earth, or in the past tense, properly said at this time, grammatically speaking, was on earth. He will never be called the Son of Man again. Why? Because he's now the Son of God. He's not in the flesh any longer because the scribes and the Pharisees caused him to be, the Kenites, to cause him to be crucified. And after that, he could no longer be called the Son of Man. Why? He wasn't in the flesh any longer. He graduated. He was transformed. And many today, my friend, this is a debate. Well, so-called scholars, well, there's just a lot of problems with that translation of calling him the Son of Man. It's impossible. It just can't be done. You don't call Messiah Son of Man. He was the Son of God. And on the debate goes. And they don't go deep enough to get into the Son of Man. For you see, there was one even before this. The first Adam, Ha-Adam, the man. Both sons of God, both created by God in the sense that one was begotten, and both carrying the article, my friend, that's important to you, whether you realize it or not, in your deeper studies of the Word and in your explanation of why he was called the Son of Man. And you'd better thank your God for it, because he came here to pay the price that you can't. Because he was perfect. Now, to me, rather than getting into debate, I solve all these things when I look at what the so-called experts is a drip under pressure. You know, that's what that is. I like to, it's so simple just to go to God's Word and see what He promised. Don't you agree? If you go to God's Word and He promised He was going to bring a man as Savior, then that's good enough for me. You know, I don't object to him being titled Son of Man with the article at all. It clarifies and brings that God's mind And we have such a hard time following God's mind, but it simplifies it. We know then why he was called by this title. So where did God promise he was going to do this? Was in the book of Deuteronomy. Turn there with me in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let's see what God said about bringing a great one, a Savior, forth in flesh, in blood. That's important. Now, they were about to push over into a land where they were going to run into a bunch of very religious people. And I was going to start down here with the subject, but I choose rather to back up to the 9th verse and start there so that you grasp first some of the things they were going to push off into, so that you know why God kind of worries about his little innocent children that can't think for themselves sometimes, and gave them a little forerunner there. Let's start with verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. You're going to leave those heathen practices alone, like rolling eggs and quick like bunnies and stuff like that. You're going to stay away from it. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Oh, it's just so holy, though. God, I heard a spirit talk to me. I don't know if it was God or Satan. Well, then you'd better be frightened. I just hate to hear somebody say that. I really do. You know, you should have discernment. If the spirits are talking to you, I can about guarantee you who it was, if you don't know. God doesn't want you dealing with those things. 11. Or a charmer. That's a medium. You want to talk to your dead brother? Brother! I have a vision. I can stop clocks and tell time and worship. Yeah. Or a consulter with familiar spirits. Oh, let the Spirit come in now. Well, if it's the Holy Spirit, it's all right. But there's a lot of others, friend, you can invite. You need to be a little more specific. Or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's a medium of the dead. Now, I mean, you got your real dim boy whistling Dixie there. I mean, that's 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. He doesn't buy it. And that's religion, all right? Those are religions. Can you decipher them? And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. You're going to be sincere and mature. That's what it means. We're not going to be perfect. That's not what it really means if it were translated. You're going to be at least mature to the point you're going to try. 14. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Do you know what he's about to tell you? So I like to kind of lay a little groundwork so it just falls into the groove for you. He's going to say, I'm going to send you somebody special that's going to teach you to know right from wrong. Now, who was that? 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Now that's important. Underline. Where is he coming from? He's coming from on high. No, it didn't say that. From thee, man. I'm going to raise him up from mankind. Of thy brethren. He's going to be just like your brethren. He's going to be one of them. Not some super spirit. Not some super preacher. He's going to be a carpenter's boy, to be quite frankly. And any carpenter will tell you that his sons are common, only very intelligent. All right? And then he says, just the next three words, like unto me. Who's speaking here? God. Why is he going to be like unto God? What did God say? Let us make man in our image. Somebody's got to be made in God's image. So it's got to be a man. It's got to be one of the brethren. He's got to be in the flesh. So how some hoot owl sitting on a high tree can debate whether God would ever come in flesh is absolutely minus some screws. His elevator doesn't quite go to the top floor, or he's missing the floor somewhere. Because the word is very specific. I'm going to raise me up a prophet just like me. God, boy, that's powerful, friend. But he's going to be like you also, a human being. What's he going to give him? 60, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the desert, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Now, can you put that together in your mind? Go back to Mount Horeb and hear that voice up on that mountain, and they trembled and they shook because the presence of Almighty God overpowered them. It frightened them to death. Do you see the tenderness and the mercy? God said, I'm not going to frighten you that way anymore. I'm going to send someone else to do my talking for me that's going to be just like you, so that you don't have to change your britches every time I deliver a message. Okay? Now, you know, I'm a country boy and I'm a communicator. And I mean no disrespect to God or anything, but people, they say, I talked to God today. Oh, did you? You better rethink it, friend. The Holy Spirit might have touched you, but for these boys playing one-upmanship, going around saying, God talked to me today, they better be careful. That's a false religion within itself in certain cases, because God would tell you, I didn't talk to them. 17. In other words, what I'm saying is, God said, I'm going to bring this down to your level where you won't have any fear concerning him. He's going to be very ordinary. Only he's just like me. Looks like me. In my image. That's why Jesus would teach, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. They had a right to be afraid that the sin they were in, making a golden calf and putting a sexual orgy on before the Ten Commandments got to the bottom of the hill, they had a right to be frightened. 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. He's going to look like a human being and be a human being, but he's going to have my word. Why? He's the word of God. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which are what? His words also, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And he means exactly that. Do you want to know a second half to this? It digresses a little bit from Son of Man, but perhaps while we're here. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. We've got a lot of false religions in this world today, friend. And many of them even carry a Christian flag. But they're getting ready for a Christianity to the false Christ if they're not, they don't mean to. But if they're not very careful, if they haven't done their homework, that's what's going to happen to them. And they're going to do it willingly and gladly. Listen to the one he sent, not the fake. All right? What's the penalty? Death. Spiritual death, and perhaps death of the soul, if you're not careful. These are very serious things in this generation. So, if we absorb the simplicity of this, why is there a debate? To me, it's not up for debate. God spoke. He would raise a prophet up from the brothers, meaning the people. We know the seed line. We even know which line he would come through. We know where he would be born. We know who would give birth to him from the prophecies, a virgin, and so on and so forth. So there was no great mystery. God always informed those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. So my point being, it isn't up for grabs. Only an idiot would argue the affinity of Son of Man with the article, the Son of Man. Because he was promised. Promised from the beginning, day one, coming out the gate, that he would send a prophet that would keep us away from the fake teachers, the dreamers, the witches, the hearsayers, the dreamers again. All you got to do is study the simplicity of his word and absorb it.
Unfortunately, we are unable to air the message you are currently viewing in its entirety due to time restraints. You may order the entire message on audio tape, which is our item number 985, The Son of Man. This message is also available in its entirety on VHS tape, and in fact is combined with Pastor Murray's previous message, The Woes, on a single VHS tape, our item number 60.37. The suggested donation for VHS tapes is $25. The Woes is tape number 984, and those are the Sunday, October messages. 984, The Woes, 985, The Son of Man, or both messages on VHS tape, our item 60.37. And now back to Pastor Murray and the conclusion of The Son of Man.
45. And so is written, the first man, Adam, now wake up for me, think Son of Man. Adam means man in the Hebrew tongue, all right? The name has been interchanged with the word man many times in the Greek. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Quickening means to make alive. He was a make-alive spirit. He will make you alive if you accept him, all right? If you partake of his word, for it is God's word. But the first Adam, now, the reason I want you to hang on to these two Adams is because of the term Son of Man. Because both the first Adam, in whatever language you want to write it in, has the article in the original. And also the second man, Adam, called man, even though it might be anthropos in the Greek, the Hebrew is still Adam, as it is translated here in the 15th chapter. It also has the article saying to you, wake up, smell the roses, see the truth. He's the one. He is the definite article. Follow him. He's the one that was promised. He will take you from that crummy, well, you're all so beautiful. How could I possibly say that crummy body? Anyway, take you from that weak body and give you and offer you something really beautiful. I mean wonderful. Quickening you into the eternity. To bliss, to happiness, to completeness. After we've done away with all the crooks on this earth, it's going to be such a beautiful place, and I look forward to that day. We're getting the army ready. Boy, what a sweet, sweet savor that's going to have. I can hardly wait. It's just the way of old Marines, you know. I say, once a combat veteran, always a combat veteran, all right? And spiritual combat is so final compared to physical combat. It's kind of final, but it's just temporary for a while. Okay, verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. Why couldn't we start out that way? But that which is natural and afterward that which is spiritual. It's called testing. Hello, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What kind of person are you? I don't know, you know. He's testing, all right? Who do you follow? Who do you believe? I hope the one he sent. 47. The first man, that's Adam. Now we're using the word man instead of Adam. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He is the Son of Man. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly. You got that? Image. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All the way back to the beginning when God would say, let us make man in our image. Christ is His image, and you're in your own. But that image must also bear this image. You got it. Look in the mirror. Check yourself out. But you're also going back to that image, the one you were before. Now come Judgment Day, we'll have the final score. All right? I sure hope you all make it. Don't blame me if you don't, please. Because I don't know if I will or not either, but I'm going to try hard. All right. See you there. Okay. So, but don't miss that point. Do you understand now why it's written in the Greek and in the great Gospel of John in chapter 3? Not as the Englishman says, you got to be born again. Now, I've never in my life have I physically seen something born again. You know, once is enough. Right? It'd be rough on the mama if you had to be born again. The Greek is very specific. Born from above. Meaning from that image above to this image below. And it's so clear when we get to the manuscripts, is it not? Verse 50. Now this I say, listen carefully. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I mean, it can't be done. We've all got it made. We're going to that place. Turn with me quickly, as I started to say in closing, but I'm not ready to close. Well, I'm okay. I'm running on pretty good time here. Y'all don't care, do you? Don't you just hate these preachers though that after an hour and a half says, anybody in a hurry? Lord, I give up being in a hurry. I wanted to be out of here 30 minutes ago. I'm not doing that to you, okay? Gospel of John chapter 5. Jesus teaching, be alert. Be really alert. And listen to His words, for God said these words that come out of His mouth are my words. Let's seal the lid on the casket of truth, or also the casket of lies, and bury that sucker if somebody wants to debate it with you. It's written, it's so, and that's it. No more need be said. Verse 19, chapter 5, Saint God, the great Gospel of John, and it reads, this is chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. He was born of flesh. But what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He gave me authority, showed me. 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. I mean, there were healings, and just awesome truth came forth about, wow, in John and in Mark and Matthew, about how you would be delivered up and what you would say, and how that the great miracle of the Holy Spirit would come upon you, and you would, it wouldn't be you that would speak, but the Holy Spirit letting you off the hook again. He died on the cross for you, and He's going to let you off the hook there, where what you say, you won't make any mistakes, because it'll be He talking, or Him talking. 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, makes them alive, okay? Even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. And He gave example to this in Lazarus. Come forth, Lazarus, and Lazarus did. He didn't walk out. He was bound up like a mummy. He floated out of there. 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but listen carefully, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Right? Do you remember Ezekiel 44 concerning the Zadok, that's the elect in the Hebrew tongue, that they would judge with Christ, right? In the millennium, Ezekiel 44, beginning with verse 25, verse 23 in this fifth chapter, that all men should honor the Son. Well, I'm talking about the millennium. Don't go around judging people today. All right? It ain't over yet. Gabriel hasn't sung. All right? Give them a chance. Don't judge them yet. If anything, help them. Push them up. Kick them up. Do something. Don't just stand there. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. If you don't honor the Son of Man, God ain't going to honor you. You see where we're beginning to get down to the nuts and the bolts of this? What am I saying? If you don't believe Jesus came, that the Son of God, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Christos, Messiah came in the flesh, you're in a heap of hurt. It makes a big difference. 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Think about that. You worried about judgment day? Let me read that to you again and then you smile. Everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Love Him.
Well, you don't understand, brother, how many bad days I have.
Well, stop it then. You know, just quit. Get up a little extra early and talk to the Father a minute and say, Lord, help me. I'm going to go take names and kick dragon today. And He'll help you. And you'll have a lot better day, all right? God likes can-do type men, women, children. 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Whoa! Now don't you read over that. It didn't say the Son of Man. The dead are not going to hear the voice of the Son of Man. Why? That's to the earth. But the Son of God, they certainly will. Because He will have been crucified by that time and will no longer be in the flesh but transfigured, transformed. Okay? The reason I'm emphasizing this, I want to make certain that you don't read over the title utilized here, Son of God speaking to the dead, all right? And they that hear shall live. That means those that will hear with understanding and act upon it. 26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. Like Father, like Son, Emmanuel, God with us, born from above, in the same image. I'm just bringing a few cliches together here so that we're all geared right. 27. And He hath given Him authority to execute judgment also because, listen to me, because He is the Son of Man. Do I need to make comments? Isn't that amazing? Do you see the chronological order that is dignified there by name and title? Son of Man, of course, is authority to the earth because He still breathes and His heart still beats. But when they crucify Him, He becomes the title Son of God. What not only the authority of putting things on earth underfoot, but Satan really blows it. Because as Son of God, he has authority over the universe. Everything. Grasp that. That's why both titles are utilized here of different, that is to say, the same but chronologically different times and events. He would go, as you all know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, back to those that had died all the way to the time of Noah, that had not had the opportunity to accept Christ as a Savior. Why? Well, he hadn't been the Son of Man yet. So he couldn't exercise the office of Son of God. So as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, he went back and talked to the dead and offered them salvation, and a bunch of them evidently took him up on it, because in chapter 4 of that 1 Peter it says he let many of the captives go. Right? So that's what he's talking about here, so you understand. There would even be a, I don't want to call it a mock thing, but for those that would be hard to believe, the graves even opened. Even though they were in heaven, they came back and farmed and walked through town dragging them whole grave clothes, so people would say, that's a fact, he defeated death, because he's walking right there, he was in that hole in the ground. I mean, you know, some people, God went a long ways to make them believe, or to show them that Christ was Messiah. All right? Verse 28, marvel not at this. Don't think this is a big deal between the Son of God and the Son of Man. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they did. Again, your documentation is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. 29, and shall come forth they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is untrue. So it is with you today. If you do not witness what is written, your witness is most likely untrue. And God takes a very dim view of that. Okay. You want to be very careful. He can correct you and punish you in many ways. And I'm not trying to put anyone on guilt trips, or I'm not trying to frighten anyone. I'm saying stick to your family, which is to say, the one of your brethren that he sent. Follow him. Follow the true Christ. Now, I covered that gospel so that you would see the duties of the Son of God, and that you would see the duties of the Son of Man. And we could go on and on and on, nailing this down. Do you understand? Are you beginning to see why I say, when someone says, it's wrong to say the Son of Man? But there's no debate to it. God said he would do it that way. And it's merely a title of a position. The same as Satan has many titles, so does Christ. It has his duties because they are descriptive names. I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 2. Kind of puts all this to rest. And I'm going to kind of give you a little pop test here. I'm not going to give you a test, but I'm going to warn you that you're going to fail the test if you're not careful. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, and unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But he did put it under Christ's subjection, okay? 6, but one in a certain place testified, that's Psalms 8, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, I want to warn you, there's no article on that son of man. What does that mean to you? I'm not even going to explain it, because if you listen, you know what I mean. There is no article concerning that son of man.
What do you say? What is mankind? Why does God care about a bunch of grasshoppers?
No, he didn't use that word, but, you know, said in that way.
Well, what is God? Well, they're his children, of course. You know.
Verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. So you get out there and fish, and you hunt, and Adam, you get out there and plow, and you plow deep, all right? You take care of my old world. Don't pollute it. 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We still got a lot of things going wrong, okay? But we see Jesus. Now this is a different thing. We go to the title of Jesus. Well, let me ask you something so that you understand what we're reading. What does the word Jesus mean? Well, it's Jesus. No, I ask you, what does it mean? What does that title mean? It is Yeshua, which is to say, it's Yahweh's Savior. So what was really said there? Now we see God's Savior. If you want salvation, that's where you look. That's the subject, all right? Now we see God's Savior, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crucifixion, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. God won't ask you to die when he didn't do it himself. In a fantastic way, he was perfect and didn't deserve it. 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, the pioneer, he that showed you class, he that showed you, you don't have to be afraid of Satan, he that opened through wide the gate to the Holy of Holies, that even you can walk in. 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He had to be like us. He was one of us. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation, will I sing praise unto thee. Well, have you? I mean, you're one of us, right? Have you? Have you declared his name? Well, which one? Well, that's why we're here today. Just to help us be bone up on the names again just a little bit. So you know what we are talking about. All right? Have you told someone about him? 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, listen to me carefully, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So don't you whimper to him. Oh God, you don't know what it's like in one of these flesh bodies. That's an insult to God himself. Emmanuel, God with us, born from above. He that descended, ascended. He showed us how to do it in class, right, with dignity. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy. You want to know why he did it? And do you know why you've got to do it? It's all answered right here in this verse. Listen to it carefully. Likewise, that took part of the same, that, this is the reason, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I mean, this writes his ticket. The devil's children caused Christ to be crucified, so God himself doesn't have to worry about destroying that cherubim, Lucifer, devil, from within with ashes, because he did it to him in the flesh, of course. 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were
all their lifetime subject to bondage. Don't go through your lifetime in fear, my friend. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. The only thing man fears is the unknown. So don't let God's word be unknown to you. If it is, shame. Shame, shame. 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He didn't come in here as some super dumpling. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. He came birthed just like you are of the seed of man through that genealogy of Abraham. What does Abraham mean in the Hebrew tongue? If we're going to say the name, let's get the description. It means the father of many nations. Meaning those nations are either in Christ regardless of who they are or they ain't. Nobody. They ain't nothing. They're gone. They're out of here at this time. Wherefore, in 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. This is why, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He didn't ask you to do something he wasn't willing to do himself. Think about that. Do you understand that every temptation you've been through, he was? Now, I didn't say he handled them the way you do. No, don't do that to me. But he was in the flesh in this world. And he was very healthy, very normal. That is to say, he was a living being. He showed us how to do it with dignity. And at the same time, he paid the price so that he could reconcile us that can't do it that way over the hump. 18, to conclude, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure, that's to guarantee them that are tempted. Once they repent, once they come around, Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Jesus and Christ, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Why would he ever be called Son of Man? Isn't it foolish for someone to even ask the question? Where would we be today if he did not come in that role? For it is he in the flesh like we, but paying the price for us that we can't, so that we don't have to be afraid of anything. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever let some would-be scholar debate, his name just doesn't fit. Say, boy, you're ignorant. You call yourself a scholar, you ignorant. That means way down there. You ain't read the Bible. You handle it however you feel best. That's just the way I do it, and maybe sometimes it's best not to follow my lead in the way I handle things. You have to handle it your own way. Okay. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, for being with us this day. Father, thank you for the chronological orders, even by titles given, Father, that gives us a clearer and more definite knowledge of your word. Thank you, Father, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The book of Mark.